Despite a building filled with people, Monday morning found Polly in the basement looking through boxes for heavy blankets for her bed when she heard a crash and then a very masculine screech. She ran up the steps to the main level and found everyone heading to the second floor. She followed the crowd upstairs and saw activity in the old girl's bathroom. Doug Randall was limping out, his hair and clothing filled with plaster dust. Jerry Allen was right behind him with his hand on Doug's back.
"Okay, buddy, breathe. Just breathe."
"Did you see that?"
Doug asked.
"Did you see that? There were bones and skulls."
Polly pushed through to the front.
"What are you talking about?"
she asked.
"Bones and skulls."
Doug took a breath.
"In the ceiling."
Polly cocked her head and looked at Jerry quizzically.
"In the ceiling? I thought it was concrete and they were going to drop a new one to hold the infrastructure."
Jerry shook his head.
"So did I. Doug must have pushed in the right place because what we thought was concrete wasn't at all. It was drywall made to look like concrete. Someone dropped that ceiling years ago."
Doug sat down on the floor.
"Bones and skulls," he repeated.
Polly tried to step past Doug and Jerry to get into the bathroom. She wanted to see it. Jerry stopped her.
"Are you sure you want to?"
"I think I need to," she insisted. He let her through and followed her. The ceiling had taken a beating when Doug pulled his hand back out of the drywall. It looked as if he had grabbed the ceiling to maintain his footing on the ladder and pulled an entire section down on top of him. He was absolutely right. Two skulls had fallen out of the ceiling onto the floor, as well as a number of bones, books, and clothing. She started to step further in, but Jerry stopped her.
"We need to call the police. You shouldn't disturb anything," he said.
"Right, you're right." She used her phone to snap pictures of the room, the floor, and the mess. "I wonder if the other bathroom ceiling is this low," she mused.
"That's a good question. I can't believe no one ever noticed it,"
Jerry said. "I suppose the old custodian is the only person who might have," Polly said, then pointed at the bones.
"Who are these people and what are they doing here?" "We aren't going to know anything until the police show up," he said. "Do you want to call them or should I?"
"Oh yes, that." Polly walked back out into the main hall. "I'll call them. Will you make sure no one else goes in there?" She looked at her phone. In all of her life, she'd never had to call the police. Should she call 911 or contact the police department? And which police department handled something like this? She walked over to the top step and sat down. Then she realized she wasn't thinking straight at all and dialed the number of the one person who could help her.
"Hello, dear. How are you today?" asked Lydia when she answered.
"Lydia, I need your husband. How can I reach him?"
"You need Aaron. Whatever for. Are you okay? Did someone break in and steal something?"
"No, Lydia. Doug Randall broke my ceiling and two skeletons fell out on the floor," Polly said.
"Well, leave it to Doug. Wait, did you say skeletons? Are they real?"
Lydia gasped. "I don't know anything other than that there are two skeletons in my upstairs bathroom, and I need Aaron to come as quickly as possible." Polly's body shook as a small shiver passed through her.
"Don't worry," said Lydia. "I'll call him and get him over there right away. Tell everyone to stay away from it. I know those boys, and they're going to think this is fascinating."
"Fascinating? Yeah, that's exactly what I thought," Polly sighed.
"Thanks, Lydia. I'll talk to you later." She ended the call and turned around. Everyone was talking quietly, but Doug wasn't paying any attention to the conversations taking place over his head. He just sat there. Polly stood up. "Jerry?"
"Yes, Polly," he responded.
"I think Doug might need to be distracted. I know I'm a little shook up. Would you send someone downstairs for something hot to drink and maybe some sugar?